Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
And today, since we have a combination of everybody, maybe we should start talking about preparing for transitions. As we continue, I'd like you to just greet one firm builder. Tell the person you mean so much to me. Tell Pastor Derek you mean so much to us. Pastor Derek is the Director of Family and Assimilation Development. Tell Pastor Derek you mean so much to us. And then tell everybody, every family member, you mean so much to me. There's something I don't like about your pastor. He's a main guy too much. Please help me appreciate our pastor, Pastor Ben. Pastor, please come and greet us. Put your hands together. Let Pastor come and greet us for us to continue the meeting. Man of God, I'm the one holding the microphone. Please come and greet the house. I'm the one holding the microphone.
Now, well done, no.
That's our way of saying we love you. Thank you, family members. Let's look at the things about transition, and then we get into interactive question and answer, ask all question we ask you, and then we ask one another. Why are we talking about transition? We're talking about transition because the culture in front of us is changing every second. In fact, we can't catch up. The more we try to catch up with the culture, the more the culture is changing. Yesterday, I mentioned that truth is not personal. You don't have your own personal truth. In fact, we seem to challenge truth to the point that we say now that truth is not subjective or objective, truth is personal. So whatever I determine is truth, that's what truth is. Spirituality is like a suit, custom made for me. God is whatever I define it to be. It becomes a place where whatever it is that will go viral, that's what the truth is. Whoever has a popular opinion, majority carries a vote. Who has the largest fan? If everybody is following you, it means that your opinion is the biggest. So in a time like that, we are in a transition. Life seems to be a big drama. Everybody is moving, and the movement could be from childhood to adulthood, or from single life to married life, or from married life, God forbid, for those of us who are young, God forbid 1 million times, to widowhood. And then even from marriage to being a mother. In fact, you don't even need to be married to be mother. I'm not talking about baby mama. I'm saying that you find out that you are nurturing a child. You might not even be the mother of the child. As I'm speaking now, an example is Sister Favor. Sister Favor is carrying a child, nurturing the child for the child to sleep. So every point in time, we are on transition. Sometimes the transition is that the person you're married is moving out of the house. It's part of transition. So you're a married woman from a married woman to someone who is no longer married. I don't like using the word divorcee. How do we handle all this transition? Transition is like walking on a tightrope. If you're a teenager, you're going from a child from childhood to, as it were, young adult. So it's like a tightrope. One end of the rope is here. One end is holding. That's the pillar holding one side. And this is the pillar holding the other side. And then you have a tightrope, very tiny rope. So which means you're going to walk through that road with a lot of care. Because if you are not careful, you are going to fall off the road. Say tightrope. I can't hear you. Say tightrope. What I want to do tonight is try to see whether we can bring four keys to prepare us as we go through this tight road. The first one is, we cannot prepare the road for ourselves or our children, but we can prepare ourselves and our children for the road. Yesterday you were here when the question is this: what did you do to prepare for marriage? Majority of us actually agreed that we didn't make any preparation. One that blew my mind was one of our brothers stood up and said, I felt that once you have money, you are ready for marriage. So the moment I have money, I headed for marriage. And now I am married, the money is not there as it used to be. That's when I discovered I'm not ready for marriage. And one of our sisters said, it is after I entered marriage, 5 years after, that I now began to discover that I wasn't ready for marriage. So since this transition is like a tightrope, and you don't walk on a tightrope, have you seen anyone walking on a tightrope, and you are doing that game they played yesterday in church? What did you call that game? That one they were doing like this. Osime? No, we used to call it swell. Sue? You have you seen anybody who is on a tightrope? You're moving on a tightrope. And you say, Queen, sir. Oh, yo. Queen, sir. For, on a tightrope. Before you jump up or jump down, you will meet with concrete justice. So, you prepare yourself for the road. You prepare your children for the road. You don't prepare the road for your children. Since we are walking on a tightrope, all of us are walking on a tightrope, it's important that we treat each other with care. Your husband is going from a single man, that transition. Remember, please, remember that wearing the suit on your wedding day or wearing Ishan attire on your wedding day doesn't mean you have made that transition. Some of us have worn the wedding dress, had the most wonderful wedding in town, and all the celebrities were at that wedding. 5 governors were there, and all the political party chieftains were there, and it was as if it was a show. It was a show. It doesn't mean you have made that transition. So, if we're going to make this transition, it just simply means that each of us must handle one another with care. If we're going to make, while we're making this transition, we must handle our children with care. When our children are moving from one end of the rope, teenage age, to adulthood, childhood to teenage age, as they go through transition, all of us must handle one another with care. You must care for my heart. I must care for your heart. I must be careful what I say to you while you make this transition. Haven't you seen someone who got married 4 years ago and he hasn't dawned on him that he's married? While he was not married, he comes home at 11 p.m. because he must first of all stay with the boys and finish the agenda of the day, which has to do with discussing over the bottle and his yewu. The marriage is 4 years old. He's still hanging on with the boys. Am I saying don't hang with the boys? Hang with the boys and remember that there are two people in this relationship. You are not the only one in the relationship. There are two of us. So we need to make that transition. And what are the things you need to do to make that transition? What must we do? Number one, you need to check your way of thinking. I call it attitude. The way of thinking and feeling about the other person. That's what I call attitude. I need to check my attitude towards my spouse. I need to check my attitude towards my children. Why? It's not all about you. Life does not revolve around you. In every relationship, there are two people. You are involved, I am involved. This relationship has two of us. Let's not live as if I'm the only one in this relationship. So when we are talking about us. So when we have an agenda, the agenda must include the other person. If we need to make all the changes because it's about you, the relationship is going to be very stressful and very frustrating, especially if we are dealing with our children who are teenagers. We need to check our attitude to those children. Checking that attitude means that we need to understand that if we want them to make changes, we must communicate effectively to these children that these changes I'm asking you to make today, to do today, is not about me, it's about you. I was telling someone earlier today, I said, if you have people who work for you and they decide to mess up the place, in the short term, you will suffer. But in the long term, the person will suffer. And the person does not understand the philosophy. It's a very simple philosophy. If you have formed a habit of they give you something to do, you waste it. They say, let us make a bath for four people. You say four. You use your eyes to gauge them, and gauge their stomach. And say, the way this man take fat, he can finish four rubbers. The way this one take short, he can finish only half. What you are learning the rule of wasting. Tomorrow you are going to be handling your own business and you'll be the entrepreneur of that business. And of course, it takes only 3 weeks to form one habit, another 3 weeks to maintain the habit, and another 3 weeks for it to become a way of life. If you have done this thing to someone that you have been working for, you have done it for 3 weeks, you have done it for 3 years, you have done it for five years, after some time is your way of life. And that is what I call the bow leg principle. If someone has bow leg, you say, attention. The person with all gratitude and prayer will do attention. No matter how high he jumps, the moment he lands on the floor, it will be at ease. And then you can beat the person and say, don't you know how to do attention? And then you go to the blackboard and give the person 7 ways to do attention. You say, one, you turn attention. Two, you jump up. By the time you finish, bring the person, attention, the person will return to status quo. Whatever it is you learn today, you learn for yourself. Whatever it is they are making you go through, you are developing stamina. The woman that trained me, the woman I lived with, while I was younger, I used to say, she maltreated me so much. Say, that woman was very wicked. She maltreated me. But I have discovered that thing that was looking like she was maltreating me those days is stamina today. It has turned to stamina. And that stamina, I have gone with it for me. It is with me. Whatever you learn it for yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, check your attitude towards the other person. If you want me to change, please know that transformation starts with you, according to Reverend Ben. You can never give someone what you do not have. If you do not have transformation inside you, you can't communicate transformation to the other person. Remember, we are all walking on a tightrope. And while working on this tightrope, we must check our attitudes towards the other person. Number two, whether it is in marriage or in parenting, we need to stop trying to fix people. Your spouse is not a car engine. And you are not an auto mechanic repairer that you have to fix the person. We need to change our mode. We need to change our mode from correcting and fixing to the mode of asking questions. It was yesterday I was telling you about teenagers, and I said, if you're a parent and you have a teenager, you must shift from the mode of being a manager to that of a consultant. Yesterday, someone was asking me a question on Facebook. He said, please, I have a question for you. I just finished kissing my boyfriend. Kissing, is it a sin? I remember what Jesus said. If I answer this, they will say this. If I answer that, they will say that. I said, what do you think? He said, She replied, I think it's not a sin. I said, why do you think so? She replied again, I think it's a sin. I said, why do you think so again? Then she goes, because whenever I finish kissing my boyfriend, I feel so guilty. I said, okay. The culture has so changed that you must use question to get the people to arrive at the answer. Sometimes the question they are asking you, they know the answer by themselves. Now, do you know that sometimes someone already knows what the answer is? The person is just trying to look for one or two persons that will validate. Hey, it's Pastor K that said. Meanwhile, you have it in your heart. Whether it is in marriage, whether it's in parenting, Whether it is dealing with people, you must learn how to start asking questions. Stop fixing people. It is painful to look at someone and call the person a project. It is painful to be treated as a project. The marriage covenant is not a covenant that was started by my father. The marriage covenant was started by God. God initiated it. And God himself says, those who do wickedness to the covenant, he's coming for them. The person that you're married to, whether he's a boy, if you're married to your wife or you're married to your husband, that man is his prince. That girl is his princess. And if you treat his prince badly or treat his princess badly, your father-in-law is coming for you, which is God. Who is God? Don't fix anybody. Don't put anybody, no matter what you do for people, don't have it at the part of your mind that I'm fixing them. Because when you fix people, you have a bad attitude towards them. When people are projects, you treat them like things. When they are human beings, you treat them with care. Number three, we must show we understand and share your mate's feelings, your children's feelings. Whatever you want someone to do for yourself, put yourself in a position to do it for that person. Everybody you are in a relationship with, your children, your spouse, the people who work in your home, all of them have feelings. Do not do anything out of selfish ambition. There's nothing wrong with ambition. It is only problematic when it is self-centered. The Bible said in everything with lowliness of spirit, he said, "Let view the other person as more important than you." That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, "Let love be without hypocrisy." That is, when you play love, the motive for playing love is not to be hypocritical. Hypocritical came from Shakespearean play when the actors are coming out, they wear something to show who they are not. He said, hate what is evil and cling to that what is good. When I read that, it just simply means don't be bipolar. There are people who are just bipolar. If you see something good, you hold on it. You see something bad, you hold on it. It means you're bipolar. It just simply means that you cannot take a stand. If you treat someone that you're supposed to be in a covenant with, you treat the person in such a way, you treat the person very badly, you are bipolar. The reason is this. There are other people that you're not in covenant with that you treat very well. I'm not talking about side cheek. I'm not talking about that one. I'm not talking about front cheek. There are people around that you treat well. A woman. If you treat your boss with a lot of respect and even kneel down to greet your boss, and then when he comes to your husband, you treat him shabby, you are in trouble with God. You treat your boss with so much respect and you will not give your father the same respect. We don't treat people the way they treat us. We are God's reflection on earth. Everybody around you, we have feelings. The way you talk to people is important. What you call them is important. Someone has said to you, don't call me goat. I know that now goat means something good. Don't call me goat. I don't like it. Do you know, some of us specialize in being annoying. That thing that someone say, don't call me, that is what you'll be calling the person. He said, why do you call the person? He said, I like the way when you take the react when I call him the thing. Then you'll even tell someone, say, you go so react now, you go so wait. I know what you're going to say. The person has told you, don't call me goat. Look at your neighbor, say, let's understand one another. Say, I didn't say agree with me, understand me. Say to two people, don't agree with me, just understand what I'm saying. Hello, friends, do you know that your point of view is not the only view in this matter? If two of us are in this matter, there are two ways of looking at it. And the only way we can save the day is not to agree, is to understand. Because the moment we agree, one person has been eliminated from the conversation as a valuable contributor. Share your feelings. And there are people who are very scared to share their feelings. If I share my feeling, if I share what I truly feel, they will reject me. So let me just bottle up my feeling. And then we agree on something, you go outside and do something different. Number four. How many of you were here on the second day of the week? This caused a lot of problems. Many of us think we are listening. We're actually not listening. Because listening is a skill. When you listen with respect. You listen with compassion. You listen with love. And you listen with value. Do you know you can listen to someone with disdain? You can listen to someone with finish what you're saying. Let me just walk away. You didn't actually hear what the person said. You can listen to someone with bias. You can listen to someone. The best way to listen to someone as a child of God is when you listen, communicate. You have value. When you listen, communicate. I understand. And then listening builds safety. If I feel you're listening to me, I am calm. I am safe. As long as you're not listening to me, I'm agitated. As long as you're not listening to me, anxiety will arise. And once there is anxiety, there is tension in the relationship. Number five, be the president of your child's fans club or your mate's fans club and communicate it. I know all of us have fans. You have people that when they are playing ball, even if sleep is cut, you will hold your eye like to finish the ball. I love the fact that you have people that you are their fans. Charity begins at home, not at New Benin Market. Begin from home. Be the president of your husband's fans club. Be the president of your wife's fans club. And you can't say, as a child of God, as a kingdom practitioner, you can't say, he's a woman. How can I be the president of a woman's... Excuse me. The Bible said, male and female created he him. Now listen, it's a question of roles. For there to be structure, organization, and order, God said to the man, you have the role of headship. And said to the woman, you have the role of followership. So if you go to the society, that's how society works. The organizations, you go to organizations, you have the person who is the head, and then you have people who follow the head. You go to governance, you government, you have people, someone who is the head, and then you have people who follow the head. You go to education. Even when you go to where people play games, there is someone who is the head. We want to play Ludo. We want to play what? It always begins the same way God starts. God gave you the role of headship. And when you talk about headship, headship means you are the one that brings your head for everything to work. Headship is the engineer of everything. If it's not working well, check the head. But now the woman was said to be, you are the one who is following the head. How will this work? Two of us, the man and the woman, are heirs of salvation. The man is not an heir and the woman is a sub-heir. God made two of them heirs of salvation. And listen to me, he made us co-heirs with Christ. Christ is the heir. He didn't make us sub-heirs. We are not sub-heirs of Christ. We are same. What Jesus is entitled to is what we are entitled to. And the Father said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. So you see that in the eyes of God, when he looks at Jesus, the same worth with which he looks at Jesus is the same worth with which he looks at us. And he calls us the body of Christ, so which means your wife is a body, you are a body, all of us are the body of Christ. So which means we must communicate respect to each other in spite of gender. I'm not in any movement of any nature. I'm not in any movement of kill the men, killed no. I don't belong, I don't join anything. Anything they say, we are women, we are gathering together because the men are oppressing us. I don't join. I simply know that the woman is, when women gather together, is not to fight the agenda of men. When women gather together, it is for us to be partners of the heirs of salvation. What can we add in the other person's life? What can you add to my life? We must get it right. We are girls with swords. The reason why we're holding swords is not to turn around to kill the men. The reason why the men are holding swords is not to turn around to kill the women. There seems to be a gender fight where the men are here and the women are here and we are just fighting ourselves. And then we take the thing to the home and the man says, I can't be the president of my wife's fans club. I am a man. She's a woman. In your mind, it means she's a doormat. No, that's not what the Bible said. This person is the princess, the king's daughter. This man is the prince, the king's son. We must be careful. We must be the prince. Listen, your child must know without any iota of doubt that you believe in him. Without any trace of doubt. You must be the first person who is urging the child. Oh, you can do it. Oh, you just go ahead. Just go. Your child must know without any trace of doubt. And when your children misbehave and misbehave on a large class, your child must look at your face and still see that I'm not rejected. I'm still loved. Because in our society today, rejection and acceptance has caused so many problems in our world. I will get to that. Look at your neighbor. Say, I believe in you. Tell the person, communicate it. You know, sometimes you go to your status, you write beautiful poem for your spouse or your mate. You write beautiful. The thing you are writing, the person you're writing for, has never experienced it at all. So the person is asking himself, is this person writing for me or is he writing for the people? You know, sometimes you can love for show. You know what you want to love for show? So that everybody will think that we are the latest couple. No, let us give you the trophy of the latest couple. Go with it. We don't care. We're not looking for the latest couple. We are saying these things you're saying with your mouth, we can't see it at home. How can you go to Facebook and say, oh, the man of my dream, the wife of my fantasy, the words of my music, the fire in my bones. And then when you finish, the person will wonder, is this person talking to me at all? Those of you who belong to Arsenal, or you belong to Man U. In fact, many, many years ago, more than 20-something years, I was still a student. And we were in church. I said, everybody come, let us give offering. They were looking at me. Let us give offering. It was Thanksgiving. I said, okay, we're going to take offering. All the Man U fans. One of you. All the Arsenal. Now, the Man U fans and the Arsenal fans were quarreling who will give more. You can see that if you have such value for those clubs, just take that same thing, transfer it to your children and your spouse, and you get it right. We're showing you how to walk carefully on the tightrope. Key number two. Provide a safe place. We work with orphans and vulnerable children every Thursday evening. Our team members go to wherever these children are, either at Airport Road or down at Oboro. You know what we do? We take them from harm's way and we bring them to a safe place. And we show them love, talk with them. Some of our team members will sit on the floor to communicate to these children that you have value. Our homes are supposed to be sanctuary of peace and safety. No matter how the world is shaking, no matter what is happening around our children, they must know that if I come home, I will find safety. Please, I want to beg you in the name of Jesus. We work with children. When we started doing the Orphans and Vulnerable Children program, we told ourselves in the first 1 year that the reason why children leave their parents and run to live on the streets was because of poverty. But when they began to research, we discovered that it wasn't poverty. It was more of where to belong. I will go there. Let the times, sometimes be shaky, but let the home be safe. Let the home be stable. Even when you and your wife are quarreling, are arguing, or having, Pastor Ben calls it, heated fellowship. Just take the heated fellowship away from where the children will see it, because it will scare them. Sometimes it will make them feel that it was their fault. If you have ever interviewed a child that the parents are going through divorce, the child will always say to you, it is because of me that my parents are going through divorce. Something tells them that they were the problem. Take the argument, take the shouting, take the fight. The children can't understand it. It disrupts something inside them. Their development system is distorted. Something is ruptured inside them. When two adults engage in a fight, children know they are the ones that should fight. And mommy and daddy are supposed to be the ones separating fight. But when daddy and mommy now turn around and take the roles of the children are confused. They are not sure whether they are the children or their parents are the children. Your home is supposed to be a safe place. Respect your children. Respect what they stand for. Respect their future. And just take your argument away. So if you can't take it away, find a way to sort it out. But take it away from them. Some of us, you are still trying to survive from watching your parents fight. That thing that they did to you, don't do it to someone else. Are you still my friend? Every child needs to know there is someone in their life that provides the gentleness he or she craves for. And who is that person? Mama. There's something called maternal attachment. What is maternal attachment? Your mother is the one that provides the gentle acceptance that you crave for. It's mommy's job. It's in the Bible. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother, tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become very dear to us. Every mom in the house, this is what we are supposed to do. If you look at the Bible, there's nowhere the Bible categorically said that the mother will do this, the father will do this, the mother will do this. But somehow we use our common sense to divide these jobs and say, this one mommy should do, this one daddy should do. But there are some things God, but the Bible said, the mother should be gentle and nursing. What if the mother is broken and have never been exposed to gentleness? How will she communicate gentle tenderness? What you have never experienced, you can't give. It is a mother that is supposed to care for the child. It's a mother that's supposed to say, you are accepted. You are wanted here. So not only, you don't become a mother by default. There is something inside you that God put inside you, but you need to educate. You need to educate yourself to be a mom. There is already inside you, but you need to educate yourself. How do I educate myself? That's what we're doing. We're educating ourselves now. There are seminars, and that is the job of the Holy Spirit. If you read Romans chapter 12, from verse 9 to 21, the Bible began to, he talked, then halfway through, he said, do this, do that. Everything he was saying was as if it was difficult. It has to do with human relationship. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. He said, receive strangers. He said, be fervent in the spirit, not lacking in diligence. In other words, he says, you can't do any of this without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read that scripture if we have time. It is the mother that will say, we are fond of you. We care for you. Your husband cannot be shouting and you're shouting at the same time. It's not good. Two of us cannot be angry at the same time. One person, the sweetness of two people is in the hands of one person. So one person must be wise not to shout together. When you're shouting together, the house looks like New Benin Market. It's no more a home. Intimate relationships. That's the mother's job. Maternal attachment. It is my job as a mother to build into the child's soul that they are capable of intimate relationship focused one-on-one. Not only are you going to do this for your children, you're also going to do it for your husband. Sometimes those of us who are women, once the child comes, we abandon the man. Please. The tenderness that you used to bring, the fondness that used to bring. The moment Junior just came and zapped the attention. And if you are not careful, your husband and Junior will be quarreling. But who will be quarreling with Junior? He'll be quarreling with you. So you must understand how to create the balance even when the children come. Don't lose your tenderness. Life happens. Some women have gone through some things that they took that tender part of them and threw it away and said, I don't have anything to do with this. I care for people's heart. So we sit down for hours listening to people. Sometimes some of the things that happen to an individual, the individual is not aware because it became so painful that he's hiding somewhere in the structure of the person's heart. A friend called me today and was sharing a very pathetic story. They went for a wedding, for a naming ceremony. And while the naming ceremony was going on, the woman that gave birth was trying to talk to everybody to praise her mother-in-law. He says, you see, it is very good to be good. Listen carefully. It is very, very good to be good. He said, you see this, my mother-in-law. Everybody she ever took care of, everybody she ever abandoned her, except for this child. She pointed to another child in the now a woman. Except for this child that was abandoned in the hospital, she picked the child, not the child. Today is the child that is taking care of her. The moment she said that, that other lady walked out of the room. This, my friend said, I followed her. I met her at the back. This is about a 30-something-year-old girl. She was weeping. She said, something is wrong. I've always thought that Mama is my mom. She wept so much. So my friend said, she went to call Mama. I said, what is happening? She said, I have never told my daughter-in-law that she's not my child. It must be the husband that told her, but they take and send you a message. Is it in the name? He said, no, I was sent to praise Mama. You see, sometimes we can be reckless. The lady walked out of the room. And it turned from a naming ceremony to a funeral service. Then she says to the woman, can you show me where my mom is? And the woman said, I don't even know. Someone dropped in. The woman gave birth and ran away. We have traced. This thing happened 32 years ago. We have gone there and we can't find the place. And he said, the moment Mama said that thing, something in me died. There are some women, the thing to nurse and take care of someone very tenderly, something happened and broke it. But you can still get up from that place. It's always possible. How do we work on this paternal attachment? What is paternal? This is where the father comes in. There are a lot of people here for you. The Bible has something to say about it. All the adults in the lives of a child in our homes must participate in providing these two things I'm talking about. What did the Bible say about the man? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. You experienced it all firsthand. With each of you, we were like a father with his child. Your children, your wife must experience you firsthand. If you are good in the office, good everywhere, but when you come home, you are bummer, bummer, something is wrong. If everybody around, they are saying, what a wonderful man. Oh, what a Solomon. Very wise. He gives you advice here, the advice will work. People are calling you Abraham, that anywhere you are, and then when you come home, your children call you Jezebel's father. Something is wrong. He says, you experienced it all firsthand. One day my husband asked me, am I a good husband? He said, don't patronize me, just tell me the truth. Am I a good husband? And then he said to the children, am I a good father to you? Please, don't say something to make me feel good. Just tell me. So maybe when you get home today, you should ask your spouse and just try to get an answer. Now, let's see what it means to be a father. Holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God. Does that look like encouragement? So just imagine that your wife is climbing or your son is climbing. The word encouragement is the word to urge. To urge means go ahead. Just go ahead. I'm here for you. You can make it. You can get to the top. Don't give up. And then the person is afraid and says, come on, just go on. Just keep going. Just keep going. That's what a father does. Not. Do you know? What did they do so? What did they do? He did crazy. You are going to be your papa. You go, encouraging you, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step. It is the fathers. Fathers, show us step by step how to do what? How to live well for God. And that's what you do for your wife. That's what you do for your children. So when it has to do with marriage and family, we must go counterculture. We must say, this is what the culture is saying, but this is what God is saying. Again and again, it is the father's job to show the children what God looks like. In more than 10 years of doing inner healing, again, when these days, I don't even ask you, how is your relationship with your father? Once I ask you, when you hear Father God, what image comes to your mind? The moment you give me an image, immediately I say, forgive your father, then the hell will break loose. Some of us, you don't have anything against your father. When we do inner healing workshop, 95% of the cases has to do with father. We're in an inner healing workshop one day, and a young man was standing there in an inner healing workshop. The hall was full, almost about 100 and something people. And then he was just talking. And I said, would you like to forgive your father? He took the microphone and smashed it on the floor. And headed to that wall, this wall, to hit his head on the wall. And thank God there were two ushers around. They grabbed him, nailed him to the ground, and the sweat, the tears that were coming out from his eyes were like blood. It took Pastor Ben to kneel down before him and say, look at me as your father and just forgive me. We need to change the narrative. It is not enough to give your sons money. It's not enough. Money does not make good father. Money does not make good mother. It takes a heart and a spirit to be a father. It takes a skill. Then God puts the thing inside you. Then you submit yourself for training. Now, girls, listen to me if you're not married. Any man that wants to marry you that is not submitted to any man is a god. You're getting ready to marry a god. If you have someone that nobody except God appears and says, I am God, then you're marrying a god. Because sometimes your husband's head may touch, not touch to beat you, maybe touch to make a decision. There must be someone you can say to. He said, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Exasperate actually means to push in drips of bitterness, to push the button. You push the button, you're pushing it. You're pushing in bitterness. That's what it means to exasperate. And that scripture says, don't provoke your children to wrath. When Malachi was closing, he said there's going to be a returning of the hearts of the children to their fathers. God never had a mother's problem. I will explain. He handed over the garden to Adam. Say, Adam, take charge. Make sure this works. The moment you take your family and hand it over to your wife, Adam had been feeding everybody. Nothing wrong went wrong. The only day he fed us. The only day. Women, by their nature, can be rebellious. And what you use to calm rebellion is not rank, is relationship. Father attachment is a safe place for all. People want their dads. Stepfathers are actually a support system. If you're a stepfather, your job is not to replace the father. Because sometimes a child is angry with the mother that the mother married you. Your job is to participate. Stepmothers, at times, not all the time. Sometimes the child is angry with you that your father chase their mother away and married you, and they see you as a bad person. Your job is not to replace the mother. So don't stand there and be telling the child, your mother is a bad person, your mother is this, your mother is that. Your job is to participate. Just take part. Okay. Concerning children, I used to think that when children become teenagers, they want to leave the home. I've discovered that that is not a problem. They are in another role. He says, they are going from one role. I'm going from a child to an adult. Don't treat me like a child. Treat me like an adult. So we must understand how to get our children to participate in two kinds of relationship. Interdependent relationship, not just with us alone, but with also the community that are around them. I go back to fathers. Don't let your children feel that they are only as good as they perform or fit into your agenda. Don't let your wife, don't let your spouse say you are only good when you perform well. Any day you don't perform well, you are bad. I close with these three questions. As we go through this transition, what are the three questions that we must answer? Question number one, who am I? Question number two, what power do I control? Question number three, where do I fit in? What is who am I? Identity. Identity. I want to be my own unique person. I don't know whether sometimes your children, your young children will start asking you for their rooms. Say, Daddy, why is my own room? In fact, I experienced something last month or 2 months ago where my son says, Mommy, this is my room. Oh. You know, I had a shock when I went to knock at the door. My dear opened, he said, please, I'm dressing, I'm naked. I said, but I was the one that, he said, that was then. I was the one that wore you pamper. He said, that was then, I'm naked, come back later. And there are about three or four of them, teenagers, all of them, I was there when they were born. In fact, I went to visit them. I was there when they were moving the thing and cook love covering it. And I just came. They say, I said, what is it? What are you hiding? I said, hey, you remember? The day you were born, I was there. He said, you were there then. You saw it then. But now you can't see it again. Now, so it started dawning on me that life is changing. And these children are growing. So I must respect them. You must respect your children. When you respect them, they will respect themselves. So let's talk about identity. And this talks about ideas, talks about values, talks about perspectives. What are your ideas about being a father? What does it mean to be a father? Hello, what does it mean to be a mother? I saw this scripture and I like it. Don't shovel around along. Eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Ideas is about perspective. My perspective about God, about others, about situation, about myself. A lot of times, we have our eyes on the wrong things. He says, don't shovel your eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. The thing that is in front of you is not all there is to be a father. What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a mother? What does it mean to be a brother? What does it mean to be a sister? What does it mean to be a friend? Do you know that friendship simply means I am in your life to ensure that you will be the best you were ever created to be? Even if it doesn't favor me, I will allow you to go forward. I love the story of Jonathan and David. Jonathan knew that he was the next in command. That if anything happens to Saul today, he's supposed to be in charge. But somehow he knew in his Noah that the tides have changed. that the highlight is not on him, that the highlight is on his friend. If you have a good friend, your best friend, all of you do everything together, and they're about to select the next president of Nigeria, and by all means, you are supposed to be the one, but somehow you know that it's not in your destiny, but it's in the destiny of your friend. Will you allow your friend to go ahead so that you can just fan your friend? I say, I'm the president of your fans club. Will you allow that to happen? That is true friendship. David, Jonathan gave up his right for his friend. Greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. In friendship, I have come to lay down my life so that it will succeed. We are not crabs in a barrel. When you put crabs in a barrel, none of them will allow anyone to escape. Are you ready that someone you trained, someone you coached, someone you knew that it was your money that sponsored the person, will you agree to take the back seat and let the person go and you don't touch it at all? You have the power. You just allow the person to be, because somehow it's the person's destiny. If you have something that will make that other person to succeed, and if the person succeeds, the person will go ahead of you, will you allow it to be? That's friendship. What does it mean to be a friend? Identity. If you get your values right, if I get my values, my ideas, my perspective about what it means to be a friend, what it means to be a... Listen, don't marry if you don't know what marriage is. Marriage is not jacket. It's not photo shoot. It's not pre-wedding. Is it what pre-wedding shoot, after wedding shoot? It's not after wedding's party. It's not to hire a suit and pose. It's not marriage, oh. It's not to climb, two of you to hire, pay 15,000 to a photographer, and then stand on a private jet and do like this. And it's much more than that. Marriage is serious business. Marriage is serious business because sometimes you don't even understand who you married. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Yes, sometimes you don't understand you don't understand the person's behavior. Especially if you married a woman, when she's about to ovulate, she's in another frequency. She comes out from the ovulation, she's in another frequency. She's about to menstruate. She has entered another frequency. The menstruation is about to finish. She has entered another frequency. If she enters menopause, it's still another frequency. It's not just the woman, even the man. Because when you are going to marry, you tell yourself, once I just take this 150,000, do everything I want to do, I'm done. And then your wife's family will bring village list, uncle's list, brother's list. And then you tell yourself, I just came to marry. And on that day, you come from the marriage. They say, Paul fell on the road. Paul fell on the road. You drop money. They walk halfway through. They say, fuel has finished. I don't know how fuel has finished. They didn't use motor. It was their legs they were using. Why don't they say the sand has caught? Am I talking to someone today? And you finish a marriage. Some people will quarrel that they came for them for your wedding. You didn't give them food. Someone very close to me was angry with me for 5 years. Eventually, when we got to speak, he said, I left a bar by myself. And I came for a well, even ordinary water, you didn't give me. And then you finish the wedding. The house rent will come. Before you say Jack Robbins, your wife is pregnant. Before you finish it, the labor card has finished. Before you send a packet, gas has finished. While Pastor Ben was mentoring some people while we got married, he used to mentor them. He said, Daniel, when you marry, well, maybe one day you'll be coming home, you discover the gas, the Pampers, and the Nepa It's Nepal, UFCs, whatever it is, it's finished. And Daniel will be laughing. Yeah, Papa, we'll fix it. One day, Daniel called Papa and said, Papa, that thing you used to say that time is true. He said, as I'm going, I went to buy Pampers. As I was coming, my wife goes, don't forget to, Nepal car just finished too. He said, I was going, he said, the gas just finished. He said, the same time. If you don't know yourself, you don't know your values, you can mistakenly beat your wife. I said, why didn't you time the word Nepal car? What power do I control? Do I have a choice in this matter? This is a question that every family must answer. He said, does your wife, your husband, your children, he said, are they boundaries? Do they have some power? Do you allow them some liberty to be able to do something? Or must you rubber stamp and knock everything? We must answer this question ourselves. Do you give people around you liberty? In FEM Foundation, we call it a free environment. Not free to do what you like. The Bible said that you have been given freedom. But you don't use your freedom to set up a base station for the flesh. Your freedom is to advance the things of God. You have autonomy in my house to do what? To be all you were created to be. And lastly, do I fit in here? If you have looked around the world recently, there is a fight for where to belong. People are looking for where to belong just to have identity. So they will belong to anything. And it is our job as family members to make sure that you provide a safe place for people to belong. Anybody that creates a place, they will gravitate towards that place. People are looking for, I'm telling you, people are looking for a place. So that's why people can go to social media and join anything. And quarrel and fight. FEM Foundation, create a safe place in your home. Create a safe place around you. And then train yourself to manage someone who is very different from you. Shalom. Just stand on your feet. I hear, Lord, make me. Not give me, make me. Make me your instrument, Lord. An instrument of peace. In distress, to show peace. In hatred, to show love. In darkness, to show light. Intention to bring peace, to bring the opposite spirit all the time. Lord, the only way I can show people who don't go to church that I serve you is by the way I behave. Let's lift up our hands and just worship him. I heard, make me. That's why I said, I heard, make me. Let's just worship him. FEM Foundation, your greatest goal above all, I want to be a good father. I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good child. I want to be the best engineer, the best whatever. I want to be a good father. Let's just bless him. Just bless him. Just bless him. I want us to pray, and then I'm going to open the floor for us to ask questions. Just one prayer. Lord, I ask you Lord, I give you praise. 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 The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbled on the tears that made her cry. He felt such pain, some spoke in anger. There's no place here for her kind. Still Till on she came. To the shame that flooded her face. Till at last she knelt before his feet. Though she spoke no word, but everything she said was heard. And she poured her love for the master.
Hey,
Lord, you accepted me. You just accepted me. Give me the heart to go for you, to raise these children for you. Friends, may I say to you, your children are given to you. You are a caretaker. I keep hearing, make me, make me, make me, make me. What would you want him to make you into? What would you want him to make you into? We're going to say, all to Jesus I surrender. I'm going to give an altar call. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. My blessed Savior.
Hey!
All to Jesus I surrender.
Friends, one day I asked my husband,
are you trying to say that in all these 20 years, no girl has ever toasted you? So if you're a man and a girl presents herself to you on a platter of gold, will you have the stamina to walk away? I'm going to call everybody to a life of consecration tonight. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, any other aspect of my life that has not been brought to you, I bring it to you now.
Jesus, I surrender and unto him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust in his presence.
Listening. To get a copy of this message and other life transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706 969 6499. God bless you.